Hey friend, are you asking yourself, is this what I really want to be doing with my life? I don't think so. I think there's something else that I'm meant to be doing. Welcome to the Painting Your Path podcast, where we have real conversations about what it takes to step out, be bold, and do you. I'm your host, Clarissa Castillo-Ramsey. Let's dive in. Hey, hey, welcome back to the show. I am so happy that you're here. And before we get into today's guests, plural, I have three things for you. I always have something for you. So the first thing is, if you live in the Pasadena, California area, I am having a workshop at Roman's Bookstore. I love this bookstore. It's my favorite bookstore here. And I'm doing a workshop called Create Your Dream Life, 5 Steps to Getting What You Want. If you're curious about that, head on over to the show notes and click the link to learn more and sign up. I would love to meet you in real life. Okay, the second thing is starting in June, and it's probably going to be mid-June, I'll be running another cohort of my Painting Your Path coaching group. And it's for you if you're ready to take your next steps to move from cubicle to creative life, but you're not sure how to get started. I'll help you create your day job exit plan. And remember, you don't need to quit tomorrow. We can do this over some time, whatever is comfortable for you. Everybody's different. And I'll help you start developing your creative business, or maybe you just want to start a side business. Why not? That's what this program is all about. Head on over to the show notes and click the link there to book a time to chat with me, and let's see if you're a fit for that program. And the last thing that I have for you today is August 4th through 6th, I'm co-leading a Women's Summer Clarity Retreat in Portland, Oregon. This event is for you if you want to be proactive and get away and do a mid-year reset. Or maybe you just want to network with other like-minded women, and it's really for aspiring creative entrepreneurs, new entrepreneurs, and we'll be focusing on 3 things. The first thing is checking in with your 2023 goals and seeing where you're at. The second thing is breaking through any limiting thoughts and beliefs that held you back the first half of the year. And the last thing that we're going to do is help you design an action plan so that when you leave, there's no confusion on how to manifest all the things you've put on your 2023 vision board. So if you're interested in joining us, and I'm co-leading this with my friend Lynn, put your name on the waitlist. Spots are limited. Don't wait if this special event is calling your name. Lean into that nudge and put your name on the waitlist right now, where we've got an early bird special of $5.97 until the end of May. Okay, now on to our show. Let me tell you about today's beautiful guests, and here's what they have to say. The world is in trouble, and it isn't going to fix itself. In order to transform tomorrow into a beautiful place for everyone, we're going to need all the heroes we can get. The Lavengers use their unique gifts to elevate the spirit, educate the mind, and empower everybody to discover and unlock their superpowers within. So today, we have Midwife Audrey, aka the Wonderful Midwife Marvel, and Miles, the Iron Man of Tomorrow. They are musicians and transformational speakers, and through their songs and storytelling, they explore what it means to be a hero in today's world and what it doesn't. Each of us can learn to live our own superhero life, and together, we can become the heroes we've been waiting for. So let's dive in. Hey, hey, welcome back everyone to another episode of Painting Your Path. And I'm so excited to have Audrey and Miles in the studio with us today, aka the Lavengers. And we're going to talk more about what that means in just a second, but it's so good to see you both.
So good to see you too.
Yeah, likewise. I'm glad that we get to do this again. This swapping thing is fun because I don't always I always feel like, oh, we had a great conversation. And you I feel like I was I'm like, oh, I'd like to like do that again. And now we actually get to do it
Yes,
again. So I
I
like
know. Yes.
that.
So for those of you tuning in, I was on the Laventures podcast, so I'm going to definitely have that in the show notes. And so you can listen to my episode on their podcast. And I love this. I love hosting other podcasters. It just helps get the word out, and we are so aligned in what we're doing. So let's dive in. I always like to ask my guest to just share a little bit about their journey, their life, and how you got to where you are right now.
Absolutely. For those who follow me, typically I go by Midwife Audrey, or also the wonderful Midwife Marvel. And in it right there, it kind of presents the story of who I am and how I got to here. So throughout my, I guess you can say, upbringing and education, I was raised by warrior women and advocates and superheroes literally around me as my everyday. And throughout this whole entire journey, they helped me remember who I was and my purpose and why I'm here. And so it's just very interesting how the hand in hand calling of, for me, specifically since I was a baby, a kid, I knew I wanted to work with other mothers and babies. And that was like an infatuation that grew into a, I guess you can say, a calling. And then I started doing that professionally. But as I was doing that, there were aspects of that work that awoken deeper parts of myself that I didn't even know were there. And through that awakened and helped me really crack open the who I am truly and the gifts that I have to bear through this work of service, and be able to shine my light so other people can remember to shine theirs. So that's part of why I'm called the Wonderful Midwife Marvel, because it has the Wonder Woman arc and it has some of the arc of Captain Marvel. And as a midwife, I help support and bring things into being. And our world is in trouble. And so I couldn't just stand by as a mother and a midwife and just like pass off the next kid, knowing like, okay, here you go. Welcome to the world. And just keep on doing that, not do anything to help it be better. So that's kind of why, we
I love
birthed the Avengers.
it. And I love that you had such positive influences since birth, since you were a little girl. Not everybody has that. And as you were talking, Audrey, I would love to ask, can you share maybe a quick example or characteristic of one of your warrior women who raised you? Just maybe something that they instilled in you?
The no matter what, it can be done.
Oh,
And
powerful.
seeing on the back end, kind of the level of resilience, which it takes to even be able to, I guess you can say, make it, and not only make it, be able to have your children like prosper and put them through, education and still, be, I guess you can say, protected or resilient from some of the social structures that actually gravely impact, BIPOC communities. And so between my mother and my aunties and church aunties, it was very much so a herd mentality where, I was also their child, you know what I mean? And in some sense, they took responsibility over me to call me out if I needed correcting, and to support and uplift me, if my own parents weren't there, to do that. And even if they were, they still did that. And so, that whole sense of like that intentional purpose of this has to be done. That's part of why I even exist today, is because generations before me, on and on and on, the knowing that this is not going to be the end of the road for me, because I want the road to continue for my children and for my descendants further on. So that's, beautiful. I guess you could say, the lesson that I got from the she rose and he rose.
Yes.
That, you know, I got the blessing of being raised by.
You know, my origin story played out differently in a lot of ways, but in that regard, I actually had a similarity where all of the maternal figures in my life, especially my mother, but also just, again, aunties and grandmothers and friends, you know, whatever. I remember there was a stretch there where it was just me and my mom when I was really little. And my mom had a lot of these other women in my life that were, you know, and I remember that it was, I got that same care, that same, like, there's the investment of like love and genuine intentional, you know, sort of like gardening me as a little child. It wasn't something that just my mother did. It was something that, you know, and some men too, but like, you know, I think it's worth noting the warrior women element of it is definitely, a through line. And, so for me, my relationship actually with my mom has been a big catalyst for a lot of these sort of things that got me here. For one, you know, she and my biological father are both talented musicians. And so I sort of was privileged to have a predisposition early on toward that. There's pictures. We got pictures of me in like a onesie when I was little, and seriously, I got like a pick in my hand and I'm holding the guitar as if I already knew how to play it.
Me too. And I'm like, you're literally holding the pick of the guitar correctly.
Right.
Oh, that's so awesome.
You know, yeah, I have a lot of gratitude for that, because clearly I can't take credit for that. Right. And so, you know, there's little things like that along the way that are sort of woven into who we are. And then, you know, like you were talking about, Audrey, you come out, you know, having maybe gone through school and gone through a career, which I had, and, you know, like a lot of us do, I think coming into my 30s, I started having to expand my consciousness and grow beyond what, you know, whatever my previous attitudes and goals and ideals were and everything. You reach a point where it's like, oh, even if you're successful at the stuff you wanted when you were a kid, you get to a certain point where you have to outgrow that, because the world is bigger than that. Your purpose and your connections to everything around you are bigger than that. Mm-hmm. Let alone if things aren't working, that's, you know, that's where people hit their rock bottom and have to like really, you know, reinvent themselves from that place. But we all end up having to do this. And so for me, you know, I had this really, I had a lot of surgeries and some birth defects when I was little, and, you know, my mom, played a big role in getting me through that. And then she had sort of a hard life herself and ended up passing away when she was 44. So that was back in 2007. And I sort of knew it was coming and had, you know, had caught on that I was like, oh, I can do something really cool with this art thing, this music thing. And, you know, I saw what was happening to her. And I was like, man, I would really like to just be able to just set her up with a place where she could just be her, you know, without all these pressures that are put on women all the time. And truly all of us, but women first, and then it literally, you know, sort of spreads out through the rest of the community through, you know, through any children that come across, you know. And so I saw where this was going, and I was really hopeful that I could sort of get into a position where I could return the favor, because she had just given so much for me and done so much for me. And I didn't, not only that, I didn't like living in a world that lets people slip through the cracks like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I sort of started studying it, and I was, you know, also grappling with like trying to deal with some traumas and so on, you know,
right.
You're not always aware of the stuff you're carrying right away. So it all sort of came to a head in a way when she died, and it was like, well, I definitely wasn't able to help her. And now here I am, like, all right, I got this music. I've been learning all this stuff. You know, I got a college degree, and I've been, I sort of just as like a hobby of mine, I was like watching the world, trying to figure out like, hey, what is going wrong here? And for a long time, I felt like, you know, I'm like, oh, I feel like we all sort of got it figured out, but no one's been able to sort of like implement yet. Right. You know, mm-hmm. no matter what industry you look at or whatever. I'm talking with Audrey when she and I first met each other, she's telling me about midwifery and all of the important things that midwifery does and all the ways that the world is really not incorporating that well. And the cost is enormous to us all. And it was then that I had this realization that Audrey was getting at the very root of how we're going to heal our world. The only way to do it is by starting. She has a shirt that says, what is it?
Peace on Earth begins with birth.
Yeah.
Peace on Earth begins with birth. I love that.
And, yes. You know, in the things that I was seeing, you know, especially in doing international like medical work, realizing like, this is ridiculous. Like if they were in America and I was their provider, you know, they would have access to this, this, and this. That's basic, you know? So just realizing that the quality of life and the privilege that people have is very different depending on where you're born. And, yeah. you know, like just all those different things. And that's not okay. That's not okay. You know, literally, I myself is a first generation, you know, born in America, American from Haitian immigrant parents, you know, like if I were born there, all the things that I was seeing in that hospital, like would have been the same access and resources that I would have had. Who knows if I would even still be alive to this day, because I know that as an infant, I did need to receive some medical care. And so would the resources have been there in this country if I were born there? And so like, that's not okay for me, you know, to be over here and be like, woo-hoo-hoo, lucky I made it. And yeah. let me just stay in my little bubble and, you know, continue to serve, you know, with those of us that have opportunity and privilege, but like not extend the opportunity and privilege and try to actually make the world in general something better that no mother, no midwife, no child has to endure. Mm-hmm. And so when we can set the conditions by which we have what we need, which then means there are additional structures and systems that are then implemented and put in place. Now we're talking about a better society at large.
Yes.
You know, just from being able to, at the heart, make sure that birthing people are able to have the resources they need and have the community that supports them, because they are what replenishes the community. And that's where the heart of the health and wellness of like our world comes from, is when yeah. we can start from that center. So
love yeah. it. Thank you for sharing. And Miles, I have to ask, because you are also known as the Iron Man of Tomorrow. And we're going to be talking about, I'm going to ask him about superpowers next, but I would love to hear how did that come about, and how did that come to life?
Oh, that's so funny. So thanks for asking. So I like to tell people I have the spirit of Superman, the mind of Iron Man, and in the body of the Wolverine, because I'm like short and kind of like stout.
Love it.
But when I was little and I was going through all the surgeries and everything, I they had the Christopher Reeve Superman movies out, right? And I just, on a like a spirit soul level, like identified with the Christopher Reeve Superman movie. So much so that my mom had gotten me like this onesie kind of thing with a cape, you know, like just like a cotton, whatever, right? And I was Superman.
Yeah.
So much so that I was so much so that I wouldn't even take a bath. So the story goes, my mom told me that I wouldn't even take a bath. I wouldn't take it off to get in the bathtub. So finally she just let me have it. And she was like, all right, cool. Well, I guess we're going to watch Superman the cape and the boy at the same time. Right.
Yeah. So two in one.
Yeah. And so it's just funny that like early on, I had that much resonance sort of with it. And then the Marvel movies came out and the Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man, and everything from like the chunk of scar tissue in my chest to sort of just his general way that he interacts with the world and the creation element. You know, he's always down in his lab creating something. And that's what my life has been like with this, you know, with studio, with music. So we put it all together, and that's sort of that's the story there.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. I had to ask. And what I love about your podcast, which we're going to get to after this, is that it's a take on the Avengers, but it's the Lavengers. Mm-hmm. And when I was on your podcast, I know we talked a lot about superpowers, and I know that's something you're both passionate about. And I would love for you to just help us. How can someone develop, maybe even identify their superpowers?
I love that. It's mm-hmm. a great question. Mm-hmm. So I had an idea on how I wanted to respond, but if you wanted to,
I'll take first. The floor first. Yeah, yeah. Right. I literally, through my own personal experience, realized no journey is linear.
Yeah.
Meaning.
That's so true.
Meaning like, okay, cool. Come out right out the gate. You know, like you have these skills, these talents. It's going to go a certain way because you have these skills and these talents, and boom, boom, boom. You know, so because life has so much in it that we're negotiating, and we get so many programs and conditions by which we have to live our life by that then reinforce or de-reinforce our belief structures about like what we can and can't do and all those things, right? So ultimately, first and foremost, wherever you are on this development journey of your superpowers, it definitely is seated at the heart of your passion, like that thing that like, yes. Ooh, gives you that thing inside that like, you know, like it literally like, without realizing it doesn't feel like work. It gives you a breath, like your heart almost like skips a beat a little bit. Like it's that thing where you are utterly alive. That in there is the potential, the limitless potential of where your superpowers are rooted in. Now, how that starts to express and how you do that and move about in the world, honestly, it's a self-experiment.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, and as I had said in my, I guess you can say my origin story, like I started with the, like what I was told and taught was the thing to prioritize and what made sense to me per my programming. Okay. Like when you have immigrant parents who are like, we did not come to this country so you could just like go art and mess around or whatever.
Oh yeah.
You
had the same message. Exactly. My parents came from the Philippines.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I can relate.
Like school, church, like home, like that was it. Yep. That was it. That's what you did. So I did that route. I academics and everything was it. And I snuck in my passion through band and choir. Nice. And other art things. And I, at one point in my life, was actually ashamed that that was even kind of on my like transcripts or band resume, not band resume, but you know what I mean? Like your school, right? Like your school thing,
yeah.
Because it's like, oh, that's just, you know, that was just for fun stuff.
Yeah.
Cause right. You know, electives, but come to realize like, no, actually that is one of my gifts, because without realizing it, that is how I'm able to transmute energy, especially energy that can be hard or difficult or mucky. And it's important, especially as, you know, mind, body, spirit, energetic beings, we take on a lot of things and we need to be able to process it. And that was one of the ways that I would process, but I completely disacknowledged or disregarded that. You know, I would like seep into this place. And then part of the medicine that helped me like come back again would be the thing that I would do that I discounted. That was just a fun thing I did on the side.
Right.
Only to come to realize like, oh my gosh, that is part of the heart of what makes me the most powerful, where I can speak from a place of vulnerability, authenticity, and just tap into some parts of me that maybe in a different sense or in a different role, I can't really go there. You know, I mean, maybe I could be a midwife that sings to you.
Yeah.
You know, like a 2-in-1. But yeah, so it's not linear, and it's just seated in that energetic space of what lights your soul up And as you go on your journey, you discover how your superpower actually is one that you can use and leverage and not only change your life, but change other people's lives too.
Beautiful. Yeah. And as far as like how I break it down in my mind, superpowers can look like a lot of different things, right? So if I like that you brought up the mind, body, spirit thing, because I like it's a convenient, easy way to, you know, sort of put these in boxes. Boxes can be good sometimes, not always, but sometimes boxes
like
are
a framework.
There you go. Exactly. And so in this case, the boxes are mind, body, spirit. And that is to say that I define superpowers as like your power, like from pouvoir, the French word for to be able to, right? So an ability, and super meaning like the highest, the top. So what is your most prominent ability? Right? That's your superpower. And we don't all necessarily have just one. Some of us do. And even if you do, one superpower is plenty, but some people have lots of them, just like in the comics, right? Like the X-Men and all that. Right. So some of them are telekinetic and some of them are just big, super huge, and you can hit them with a bus and they're fine. And some, you know, and some have like laser powers or empathy powers, or, you know, they can talk to plants and stuff. So I love that depiction, because our superpowers also look different on different people and even within ourselves. Sometimes you see somebody with, you know, maybe like a physical impairment, and their superpower is sort of in their heart and the way that they don't let that sort of mess with them. And some people, it just messes with them. But for them, you know, their thing is
maybe their humor about it.
Right. Or like Stephen Hawking, great example, right? Didn't have a lot of use of his body. So, and yet, brilliant mind. And so then the relationship with the body is like figuring out, okay, well, sometimes our superpowers are born out of or come at a cost of some other kind. And so along the way, we get to sort of like discover, oh, so, you know, my heart is one of my stronger suits, right? Or my mind is one of my stronger suits, or my body is one of my stronger suits. And then, you know, life will draw these things out of us, like Audrey was talking about, but it also sometimes suppresses these things. And that's where the journey going within, with a framework and with your life experience, you get to sort of sit and sort out, be like, oh, I'm really good at, you know, doing paperwork because I've got a high attention to detail. But
and
I really
organizational and, skills,
right?
And I can see a pattern and whatever those cases you can apply.
And so that's
knowledge.
Right. And so it's not that you're great at paperwork; it's that you have all these other attributes about you that you're applying to doing paperwork. Mm-hmm. And when you apply those to other things that maybe you have more passion for, you start to see this real explosive flowering of like, wow, that's my superpower in action. And so that's how I dig into it.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And
the passion, the framework, the experience. Yes. I love that.
You know, when we look at like, well, why then? Why do we care about like being super powered up, you know? And it's not just for funsies, although like, I feel like that is the only way to do it, right? Like, if the world is already like this, you know, doing more like this is definitely not going to make it better.
Right. More fun, please.
Exactly.
Me too. That is
so
what I'm all about
just
too.
Like, make it exciting.
Yes.
Because why not? And one of my all-time, you know, heroes is that she talks about how exciting that you should be able to use your essence, your ingenuity to get to see what you get to bear on the world and how you make it better. So just her saying that made me realize like, oh, it doesn't have to be a sad affair at all. It doesn't have to be, you know, a fight where it's like, it's we're scared, but we know what we're fighting for. And so I really want to pass on a different vibration onto the future, you know, because yes, we stand on the shoulders and the mantles of those who have fought to get us to where we're at. You know, I cannot just acknowledge that. And if anything, I am so grateful for that, because that allows, you know, all of us the ability to have everything that we have right here, right now. But who said that we have to like stay in the struggle and stay in a vibration of like scarcity and fighting and this mindset of like, you know, this lower energy for our children. So I was like, well, let's just like liven it up, party it up. What kind of world do we want to live in? And let's be excited that we have the opportunity to literally paint our own path with our own superpowers to make the world a better place, you know? And so when we apply that, that's how we become the heroes we've been waiting for. Literally, like, it's just, that's it. Like, you, who you are, born with the gifts that you have inside, which part of your journey is to discover and unlock that. And we love to help people kind of just figure some of that stuff out, you know?
Yes.
And when we do that, we feel like we are just so alive and fulfilled because you are in the essence of who you were here to be. And just doing that is literally making the world a better place because we needed you. There's a 100% whole size you that only you could have ever, you know, filled. And with your superpowers, you can be the superhero someone needed.
Yeah. Or, and I think when we're all sharing our stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that gives others permission to do the same and to let down these old masks that can keep us hidden. So beautifully said. And with that, I would love to kind of segue into your podcast, The Lavengers. And I would love to hear a little bit more about your message. I know you have three pillars. Your framework is to elevate the spirit, educate the mind, and empower everybody. And I love that. I love you are leaving no one behind. And could you just share a little bit more about your podcast and your framework?
Yes. Might I hop in real quick?
Yeah.
So with the podcast, we have a few different, well, the idea was to have a multimedia approach, right? Because we like so many different things. I love listening to podcasts. I love making music. I love comic books. I love music videos and movies and all that sort of thing, right? So what we discovered was that there, you know, when talking about all these different things and when, you know, sharing music and sharing, you know, stories and things like that, there's a different platform that sort of suits each one nicely, right? So we can really move the spirit with music, right? And we can have songs and have that whole part of the thing. And then we have like ways that we can get together and we can empower one another or empower changes on certain issues. We got a whole thing that we can do with that. But the podcast is really fun because it allows for this longer form storytelling to happen that gives us this deeper insight into each other. Mm-hmm. And I think so that was sort of
and that's part of my favorite educate part of pillar, you know, mm-hmm. which really when I think back to you know, nothing's ever created underneath the sun, right?
Oh, nothing's ever new.
Nothing's new underneath
yes,
the sun.
Totally get it.
You know, yeah. Like every emotion I've ever felt, all of humanity has ever felt. So then I can trust life and the process enough to know, like, I can look throughout all of history and, you know, truly see what works and what didn't work and put myself in that humanity to understand that. And then from there, you know, this is how we learned. We used to have gatherings where we would beat the drums and physically get on the same rhythm and frequency with each other. And then we story told, which would tell us about our history and told us about how we persevered and also how we failed. And by hearing that, then we could imagine something different for our future. And so, like, that is a pillar of what it is to be human at all. And part of the core feature of how we connect as humanity. So I'm over here thinking, well, if it's not broke, you know, like, let's take the philosophies that are at the core essence of who we are, which is how we can actually be inclusive by design, because you cannot be left out if you take a human approach, right? Because then there are no conditions that you can't meet or that would exclude you from what we're talking about.
Yeah, the humans, yes. The all humans welcome thing is
correct.
It's inclusive to the all the way around.
Yes. And so when we see all of that and we see all these different representations, then we are better able to know and understand ourselves. And that's literally part of my story. Like, seeing you know, birthing people like make it through their journey as I'm supporting them. And I saw what they did.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't tell me they're not strong. Like, you can't tell me that overcoming is not possible. You can't tell me that, you know, the human spirit is like, I've seen and experienced things and supported things that came into being. And so that experience of witnessing is also part of what's so powerful, which is why, you know, when we get together and we do events and, you know, we have this thing, Avengers Assemble, part of how we do that sometimes is online and sometimes we do that in person, because in that assemblance is where we can see all of our strengths and all of our vulnerabilities and be able to use our superpower in places where others are vulnerable and vice versa for us. And that's just, you know, like a better tomorrow for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. Yeah. Miles, were you going to, it looked like you were going to say something.
Well, I had this thought too about one of my favorite things about the whole podcast concept, particularly the interview style, like what we're doing, is that this getting to speak with other people and hear their story and hear their take on what is often a lot of the same stuff, right? A lot of us have the same sort of struggles in life, right? But to hear each person's interaction with these universal human experiences of love and tragedy and strength and, you know, is really powerful, I think, in the sense that it does things for us. It helps us to see ourselves more clearly because we've got a reflection point. Right. That can reflect what is the same about me and you and what is not the same. That gives me new contrast within myself to understand. But it also does this really cool thing where I think it enables us to see ourselves and others. And in doing so, then I think we get this representation of we get to see representation in areas that you wouldn't know unless somebody told you the story, because you can't see it. Yes. Right. And so then my world is now, I get a closer approximation of what the real world is because I understand your story better. And that means that I have whatever tools and strengths and weaknesses that are part of your story are now a part on my radar. And if I say, oh, this person has a strength, cool. I can, that's part of our ecosystem. That's a strength that we all have to draw on. And if there's a liability and I'm aware of it now, then maybe there's a challenge in this, in our systemic environment that's like caused you to have a challenge or whatever. And now that I know about this challenge, I can be on the lookout for it, you know, to help stop it or help offset it or whatever, especially if I know myself better and know that that's not a challenge for me or that I do have power in a way that could positively impact you. Now that I know, there's all this clarity brings power with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not islands.
No, yeah. We're not an island. And right there, that awareness unlocks the power that can transform, you know, someone else's life, including our own, just by making, just by having that awareness and then making a decision one way versus another way, you know, something very simple, such as, you know, inquiring a little deeper and going, you know what, I'm going to refer you for this program that helps, you know, families with da 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 da. And then it turns out that literally was, that made the difference.
Changed
and
now the
that
course whole, of their family.
That again. Whole entire right. family's life
yeah.
forever, all because there was enough understanding about the person in their entirety. And I feel like, you know, as a healthcare provider and anyone in like a caring profession, you know, it is imperative that we see past the what's presented, like past vital signs, past the, okay, great, on paper, everything looks good, you know, but what else is going on? Because as you said, none of us is an island. And when we can identify parts of what holds people down and what is causing them to not be able to stand fully in their power, then if we're in a position to even enact on that person's behalf, then literally that person has been empowered to do them and be them that much better, which means the society has less of a restraint or a constraint, you know, on needing to I guess you can say, shoulder the burden of individuals who are not able to like be empowered because there are things that are disempowering them, you know? Yes. So like these tiny little things that we negotiate every day can literally transform the reality of every single human being. And if we can think bigger and bigger and bigger scales, just from these micro decisions and life choices and things we do at work, then, you know, our world is just better. We don't have what we have now.
I totally agree. And as you were talking, it also made me think about, and also for those of us who, you know, are here to help, who are here to be light workers, here to be coaches, here to be midwives and superheroes to others, is also having the courage to even say, because I think sometimes, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think sometimes we can be shy about that and feel like, oh, I don't want to impose. Oh, I don't know. And so I love what you said. And I think it also calls us all to be courageous and to remember our superpowers. And if there is somebody that we can help, to let them know so that they can decide, so that they can say yes, say no, make a change in their life. But be aware that there is another path if they're not on a path that they're happy about.
I love that. There was a thing. So you had, in the spirit of that too, like, that's a great way. Once you know that you have certain powers and you have certain abilities, and there's like a, you know, whatever, when you know what you got to offer, and when you're aware of that and you're intentionally going out into the world with, you know, the willingness to pour from your cup, being that it's full. So if you're going out with that intention and you know what tools you got, then you come across somebody who, you know, needs that. I love the idea of just saying, hey, I'm a friend, I'm offering, you know, if you need it, you want it, let me know. I'm a guy. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
You know, and just to, and it's, I love that in doing so, we actually, this is where so the Man of Tomorrow thing, also comes from the Superman. That's another name for him. He is often called by is the Man of Tomorrow. And so in that spirit, there's this sort of like, I saw a meme floating around recently that's, you know, talking about how, you know, people talk about time travel in the past. If you go into the past and say, don't do anything, you know, be careful what you do, because it'll, even the slightest little thing changed will dramatically affect the, you know, the outcome and to the present where we're at. But then that's also true of the future, right? So when we're looking to tomorrow, the tiniest little things that we do today can ripple out into these massive, huge changes tomorrow. And when you think about like popping off, and like, if there's something that's inhibiting you from living your, you know, a more optimal version of your life, and I can just break that thing out of your way. Now there's this, now the whole world has this new bright sort of element in it. And that light helps to light other lights. And it sort of works like the way atoms bounce off of each other in a fusion reaction. It's really, really wild stuff.
And the utilization of our superpowers is what enables us to make a choice to either now be a hero or a villain, you know, because with lack of awareness, like, you didn't know that there was either direction. But when you know and you don't, like, what? That's no different than like the villains in the stories that we you know, hear, and you know, still not making a choice when we know we can make a better one is still intentional. Right?
Yes.
And so, you know, then a hero, which our definition of a hero, and I really, really like, if this is the only thing people get out of this whole podcast that comes out of my mouth, is that redefining what it means to be a hero. We oftentimes turn our head and look away from that and be like, oh, well, who am I? Like, I can't help. That's whatever excuses we come up with, right? but helping everyone regardless of origin. Like when you realize like, oh, like I can help somebody, like this whole world is on fire. And when you realize like I am really good at organizing, you know, a task force, and there's some friends that literally are sitting around saying they wish they had a cause that they can help, and they're really good cooks. You know what? There's a horrible homeless population problem.
Right.
Let me just, so then literally you're able to just be like, oh, how can I help someone regardless of like whatever the case is, and what skills do I have that I can affect change, and you know, collectively with other people, put our superpowers together and make like our ability to help be stronger than what one person can do.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
amen to that.
As you were talking about there were two Spider-Man scenes that came into my head. So part of the fun of the Avengers is that we like to use comic books and movies and TV shows and stuff like that.
You have context and reference, and you really can understand and digest the components of the story.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. It's for actually sure. Not unlike, I remember watching, see, here's, I'm going to actually use a movie to explain why I do this. In the Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line, from some years back. Early on in the movie, he's talking to his brother, and his brother wants to be a preacher, and so he reads the Bible all the time. He says, why do you do that? And he says, well, if I don't know all the stories, how can I tell people the right one that's going to help them, you know, with their problems? And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you sit with that, and it's not just with you know, the Bible or any religious books, but just with the art and the works of art that we share, these are expressions. And these expressions are of like real things, like just because we dress it up in magical, you know, superhero stuff, they're actually just human stories that we're transposing these other things onto, so we can play around with it sort of abstractly and safely in the world of imagination. We can figure out our stuff. And so with that in mind, you know, I think I've started, like, now it just happens in my head automatically after all these years of sort of like doing that. And so as you're talking about it, in Captain America Civil War, Spider-Man says something to Tony Stark. He says, you know, talking about his superpowers and what it means to use them or not use them. This was sort of their early, like, with great power comes great responsibility, but they don't want us to come say it. So he says, when you can do the things that I can do, but you don't, and then the bad things happen, they happen because of you. And I resonate with that because, you know, it's sort of on your watch. The whole world is on your watch. Yeah. Whatever you have control over, whatever you have an impact on, that's where your power is. That's on you.
Yes.
For better, for worse, whatever, you know? So that's where knowing your power can be really important, because you could be letting something terrible happen right under your you mm-hmm. know, nose and not realize it because you're not fully aware of who and what you are in the world. And then the other thing was, the helping everyone regardless of origin, there's one caveat to that that I think is the really hard part for a lot of us. And it is another Spider-Man scene where, but spoilers for anyone who's listening, if you haven't seen Spider-Man, No Way Home. Essentially, there's this moment where it's like, you know, you can take vengeance upon somebody who did something grievously terrible to you.
Which then makes sense, you know, because in our world, part of our conditioning is you do something bad, you get retribution for it, right? Which is something equally bad.
And the other thing is that it's understandable from a emotional standpoint. It's the equal and opposite energetic reaction, right? In this case, the Green Goblin, right, just this force of nature, it's so stupid and senseless, ends up killing Aunt May. And Peter, you know, is now grappling with what was originally the intention of just helping this guy, knowing that he was a villain, knowing his story. The idea was just help him anyway. And then he does this awful, awful thing. And the real hero moment is when he chooses to help him still.
Instead of doing what would feel good, which is to end his life right there.
And so that's mm-hmm. what helping everyone regardless of origin means too, is that we have to then understand that the villains that we come across in the world, even the really nasty ones, they're just human beings too. And they are, their talents, their expressions are born out of trauma or ignorance or some other thing, but people aren't just born being like that. Right. You, those traits are shaped and aimed. Right. And we all collectively have a part in the world that shapes and aims those people. So
beautifully said.
And love always wins. And so, you know, at the end of the day, a beautiful tomorrow for me is one where everyone has the peace and the sovereignty to be exactly who they are, with their needs being met and with no fear that, you know, who they are is going to cause them harm or have their needs taken away.
Yeah.
And so that is seated in unconditional love. And if that is the foundation of our world, it doesn't matter if you are a villain or if you are a hero, because love being the foundation then means it is what will be the positive winning force in the end above all. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Love conquers all. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I love that. And with that, as we start to wind down, I would love to ask, what is next for you on your journey? What are you most excited about for the rest of this year? Anything you want to share?
Yes. So I guess you can say part of like my behind the scenes superhero stuff is I am also a leader in the midwifery space in Florida. And I am the first Black president of the Midwives Association of Florida.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, being in places where you know you can use your gift to make a difference is part of how you can put action behind, you know, the beliefs. We all say we want a better world. We all say we wish we had this or that, but we just go by continuing to do the same old without anything different, any changes to our action. And so, especially the last 10 years, I've been, you know, continuously on this transformation journey, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And, you know, by transforming myself, I realized thereby I can transform the world, because I'm literally helping to like alchemize that. And realizing that, you know, birthing people in this whole process is literally the heart of alchemy. It's human alchemy. It's just remixing human genetics and DNA, and we birth something new. And, you know, part of for me is, you know, really making impacts in maternal health systems in the U.S., especially for BIPOC people. And right now we have a national crisis where, you know, Black maternal health is severely poor in this country and people are dying. And so, you know, knowing what I know and understanding that midwifery is part of actually what we need, centered in our healthcare systems, and by having it integrated and by supporting the, you know, profession and the heroes on the front lines doing the work, this is actually what will be the remedy to the crisis that we are facing that actually impacts us as a nation altogether. And so, you know, I'll just throw just a few statistics out there, but, you know, just go on Google. You could just research it, Black maternal health or just maternal health in US country. We now are the worst. So for being the number one developed country in America, we've been steadily over the last, especially 10 years, declining. We are now the worst in our maternal health and infant morbidity and mortality, meaning the rate by which, you know, mothers and babies are dying or having lifelong complications due to how our healthcare systems, specifically our maternal healthcare systems, are running. Is causing us grave issue, not just in the human capacity, but also in the load that our societies are having to, you know, shoulder, and also just the dysfunction that it's creating. And it continues to perpetuate health issues generationally, right? when you see that and you know that, and you've been practicing and doing a thing that now statistically has evidence that shows that it can do better, you know, then it's like, you can't just sit on your hands and be like, oh, but I'm just a midwife. Like, I'm just a mom. Like, I'm just a, you know, like, I know this information, but I'm just gonna, I guess, be like, well, what am I gonna do? So I took that, well, what am I gonna do to, okay, well, what can I do? Like, for real, so, though.
So doing it.
So some of the events that we're going to be doing in the next year are going to be centered around this issue.
And bringing awareness and gathering the community and maternity care stakeholders and, you know, policy people and just all that stuff, bringing everything to the table so we can start having a conversation about what to do about it.
Yeah. And along the way, part of how we achieve all this is that we're addressing these issues, mind, body, and spirit. And so the spirit element is sort of my department, where I like to connect over the arts. So we're going to be releasing music pretty regularly from here moving forward. We're working on a cover right now. We're about to drop it pretty soon.
And we have some EPs scheduled, some albums scheduled
out. Yeah, so we're doing a lot of recording in the studio. And we are obviously gathering stories and doing the whole podcast thing, which is a lot of fun as well. Plus, we've got, there was one other thing and my brain lost it. Oh, we want to be doing music videos as well and other kinds of like, interactive video stuff and things like that. But we're still working out, like, the, you know how all that sort of thing is the logistics
for
of
sure.
Like finding out when and where.
It takes time.
Figuring out how to use your superpowers, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. We brought all the stuff into the same room. How do we put it together?
Right. Yeah. Let's make an action plan.
Yeah. So for the next year, it's mostly just releasing music and trying to either participate in or also be creating events centered around
while we're midweek. You know, doing the flip side of, you know, supporting whatever these causes need, and so interjecting our gifts into these causes. There are going to be some different, you know, like galleries and whatnot that bring awareness to, you know, maternal health. And so being able to elevate those spaces just with like our mind, our body, and our spirit, and all those that we have to bear, you know, whether it be our music or our, you know, experiences in academics or just being an ally and, you know, like, okay, great. We need to vote on this bill because this bill is going to actually help mothers in America. Great. You know what I mean? Like there are very simple, tangible ways we can break it down and just start to transform.
So that's what we're up
to. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. And something new that I'm doing on the podcast is just rapid fire questions just for fun. So people can get to know you on, you know, another level too. So I'm just going to throw it out and whoever wants to answer, go for it. So in the morning, are you a coffee, tea, or other drinker?
Tea.
Coffee.
Coffee. I'm a coffee person. Awesome. Favorite all-time movie?
Tomorrowland.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm gonna go Avengers Endgame.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen that one yet.
Oh, you gotta go see it. Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland. Okay. How about your favorite all-time superhero?
Oh, this is a fun one.
Does it have to be one?
You're like me. I'm like, I just can't pick one.
Oh man.
Oh geez, please. Okay.
So I'm gonna go. It's close. I would say my favorite is Superman. I love Iron Man, but Superman's the guy.
Nice.
Fine. I'll just Captain Marvel. All
right, love it. How about your favorite all-time movie soundtrack?
Oh, soundtrack. Wow. You know, I recently watched rewatched, I'm full disclosure, because we watch a lot of Marvel movies. So recently rewatched Wakanda Forever and then saw the behind the scenes about the music and all the things. Like the music in that is epic. Like to say so epic to another level, and it has points of where it's really high, points where it's really low, melodic lines that are just, it's just scrumptious. So yeah, listen to it on Spotify.
Fantastic. For mine, I'm going to go this sort of a softball one, but I'm going to go Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Nice.
That is a good one. Especially if you like themed music, especially if you're like, okay, I'm feeling this 70s.
Oh my gosh. You know, for me, I can't pick one, but the one that really comes to mind is, if you've seen The Big Lebowski, I love that soundtrack because it's just from my time. So many of the songs on there just remind me of growing up.
So good.
Yes, I love that the movie. I get that. I get that.
Music really ties the film together.
Yes. How about the best advice or great advice that you have ever received?
There's this thing I wrote in my journal. And I've been given a lot of different advice, you know, across the years, just like, again, raised by tons of awesome superheroes and sheroes and stuff. But this person crossed my path for maybe less than 5 minutes. And it was profound enough that I was like repeating the line over and over in my head so I could write it in my journal when I got home. So a little backstory about that morning, you know, I had done my meditation and I had like done my intention work. And I was just feeling like I was vibing with the universe, right? Like I was just like on a vibe.
You were in the flow.
Everything was, yes, everything was just going the way that I intentionalized it. And the way I felt with the world was very much so that it was walking with me in unison. And one of the first places that I went was I was taking myself out on a date, because every now and again, that's how I like to treat myself in self-care and just also get to know me better, is like do the things that I love to do. So here it is. I like park the car, get out. And my first errand of the day, this woman, you know, was like, oh, you look beautiful today. I was like, well, thank you. And then she said to me, something about love. I'm questioning whether or not I should grab the journal, but she had said something to the effect of, you know, continue to have love and be love, because with that, you can go anywhere. Like love will literally take you and house you anywhere in the world. There won't be a home you won't be able to find. There won't be beings who won't be, there'll be beings there to help you pretty much. You know, be love and you will have a home around the world and you can go anywhere. I was just like, oh my gosh, like out of nowhere. She doesn't even know me, but she just felt, you know, and she had said, because she was an older woman, and she said, that's how I've lived my life and it's never steered me wrong. And she was like in her later 70s, 80s or something. And I was like, this elder out of nowhere is giving me this piece of wisdom. Like, you better believe I'm going to write it down.
Yes. So oh, what a great story.
Yeah.
So there, I was trying to dial it down to one, because again, same sort of thing. I'll just go to the one my mom used to always say to me. She used to always say, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass. Powerful.
I have come to understand it in two ways. When things are bad, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. So I can take, you know, I can take comfort in the fact that the storm is rarely ever permanent or long-term. And at the same time, this too shall pass also applies to when things are going well. And so it allows me to be mindful, to be grateful in the moment, with the understanding that that ain't gonna last for everything.
Right. So. Oh my gosh. Both powerful messages. Yeah. And how about, I don't know if you do this, but do you have a word or an affirmation of the year?
Ooh. Oh, and I think this
I had
year,
one I made up, but you get if you got your own.
You know, I think this year, at least for me, I just feel so, you know, in alignment with empowerment. You know, and at first it was transformation, but, you know, transformation, I feel like is what enables the empowerment. You know, that is that at the end of the day, what my actions and purpose and my why is aligning behind is wanting to empower all of us so we can be in power to literally be our best selves and make the world better for all of us.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I guess mine's sort of an add-on to that. So I'm real good with like the catchphrases and the Lovengers. All right. That's
yes.
Yeah.
A talent in dad jokes corresponds very well to a talent in wordplay. I don't know why.
Well, you're a poet. There you like our songwriter.
I guess you're right.
Yes.
Anyway, so for me, I was putting together some of our poster ideas for this year, and I came up with what is definitely the theme for me and maybe for the Lovengers for this year, which is be the hero you were made to be in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
I love it. I love
Thank
it.
You so much for sharing. And the last question that I have for you before I let you go, this is a question I ask everybody at the end. So the name of this podcast is Painting Your Path. What does painting your path mean to you?
For me, it means, one, having the courage and self-love, to be seen authentically, and that being seen authentically is the paint by which you are living your life's journey, which is, I guess, your path, you know, the how you show up in the world, how you talk to people, you know, how you process things. And, you know, for me, it's still a journey of like unlearning, because so much of that had been covered up with like, oh, a good Christian girl should, oh, as a Black woman, or as a list goes on and on and on. You know, as I start to relieve myself of these masks and allow myself to be authentic, then that authenticity is the colors of me, the colors of my mm-hmm. essence, and the how I get to be and how I reflect back into the world, you know, the things that come into me. And so, you know, that that right there is, yeah, painting your own path.
Lovely.
Lovely. Yeah.
That's funny. I had thought of it totally differently, but
I love actually, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So I think, for me, so my first thought was looking forward, maybe it's the Iron Man of Tomorrow thing. So the idea of painting the path that you, to where you want to be or whatever, you know, right. The idea that you get to envision who you want to be, what you want to be doing, where you want to be, and you craft your own path to get there based on where you are, where, you know, your specific point of view, and only you can paint that, mm-hmm. you know, with a story that has all of you in it, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes, a lot of times, other people paint parts of our path for us. So at least if you want to take the analogy that way. And so I think for one, that was the idea that I had, was sort of the mm-hmm. you know, the notion of crafting your own path forward, and also, you know, the understanding that if you're the one painting your path, then you've got the tools and the colors that you have to work with. And so, you know, paint your path, not somebody else's.
Love it.
Someone
Thank
else's
you
is both. Already taken.
Yes. That's paint awesome. Your path. Love it. Thank you both
That's
so
great
much.
Questions.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been so fun. I'm so excited for you both. And with that, thank you everybody for listening, and I'll catch you next week.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, what was your biggest takeaway? And I forgot to mention earlier that I am on their podcast, The Lovengers. So I'll be sure to have that for you in the show notes. And remember, I have three things for you, three events. The first one is happening in Pasadena, California on May 11th. It's my workshop, Create Your Dream Life, 5 Steps to Getting What You Want. That's happening May 11th. And in June, starting mid-June, I'm going to launch my next group coaching cohort, my Painting Your Path group. So if that sounds interesting to you, definitely book a time to get on my calendar so we can see if it is a fit for you. And lastly, August 4th through 6th, I'm co-leading a women's retreat in Portland, Oregon. So hopefully I can meet you at one of those events. And until next time, keep painting your path. Thank you so much for staying till the very end. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend. If you haven't had a chance yet, please write a review and rate the show. I would love to hear your feedback. And I also have a free resource guide for anybody who is asking themselves, am I on the right path for myself now? Or is there something else that I really want to do? Maybe you're in that quandary. Maybe you're wondering what's next. So head over to the show notes and you'll see my Painting Your Path framework guide. Download it and have some fun. Just start exploring. And if you're looking for a community, please consider joining my Facebook group. And thank you again for tuning in, and I will see you next week.